breakfast or lovers or, you know, whatever time it is where you are, but I recommend it being the morning, so this intro makes sense. Today, it's just me, your titular Bigfoot host, because Bob is out sick. He got bitten by something big and furry in the woods, but it was probably just a bear. That's what they're reporting it as anyway. Just a bear. Wink. Anyway, I'm here by myself today to help you guys get your monster fix. We're going to start off with some questions from the good old internet, the biggest monster in the world. Our first question comes from Anonymous, of course, on Tumblr.com, and they ask, what are your personal favorite monsters? Well, half of us are gone out and possibly dying today, but the other half can tell you that my very own personal 100% favorite monster, and I'm not stalling by saying this because I have 18 different favorite monsters, but I would have to say that my number one favorite is the griffin. I know it's technically more of a fantasy creature that does fall into the monster category, but it's always been my favorite since I was a little kid. There's a really fantastic Mercedes Lackey book that if you like griffins, you should read. It's the first in a series called The Black Griffin. And the art is phenomenal. You know, it's that high fantasy, mid-2000s style art, but still. And that got me into the whole mythos very early on. Now, since I'm in charge today, we are going to be talking a lot about book monsters. One of my favorite series coming up, as they say, was the Xanth series by Piers Anthony. And we all know that there's a lot of problematic stuff in those books, but you know, it was a pretty big influence on me as a kid, and it has a lot of really fun monsters. So I thought I'd bring it up just for a short check-in. One of my favorite creatures from Xanth is the ogres, because they're a lot of fun. You know, they're these humanoid, huge, horrendously ugly creatures who are very, very, very proud of how ugly they are. The males and the females are both hideous, which is a nice change of pace for a race of monstrous creatures. They're very, very proud of being able to crush rocks into juice with their bare hands and curdle milk by looking at it and making a face. And one of my favorite little jokes from the series is one ogre was so ugly he could curdle water by looking at it. So just try to imagine that. Just try. One series that I'm currently a big fan of is the Wicked books by Gregory Maguire. Now, everyone's heard of the musical Wicked, but I'm going to be talking about the books because they're wildly, wildly, wildly different from the musical. And there's a reason for that, because a lot of what's in the books would not play well on stage. There's a lot of political unrest, sex, very violent things happening to people and animals. Some really upsetting stuff in those books. And a lot of really dark themes and heavy themes. Which is why the musical was so Disneyfied, because who's gonna go watch that on stage? You can't kill piglets on stage and call it a musical. But I love those books. They're very well written, at least the first two. And the best part is they have some really cool monsters. This is going by a broader definition of monsters because I want to talk about the talking animals, capital A animals, in Oz. This is one thing that's not always delved into in fantasy series where you have talking animals and normal animals. But this book fully addresses it. Because your regular animals were, in some cases, not blessed with knowledge in the flood of tears from a fairy goddess named Lurline, which is very pretty and very biblical. And then there are some other explanations, but generally no one can explain it. It's interesting because what they talk about makes an animal is very deeply delved into, and the Wicked Witch, Elphaba, actually studies at her college with a professor named Dr. Dillamond, who is a goat, capital G. They try and do all these scientific studies and figure out what gives an animal a soul. And not only are there animals and humans and munchkins in the books, but there are creatures. One of the things that intrigued me is creatures like the dragons, which are sort of a stupid, smaller, uglier version of what we think of as dragons, but they can be trained to attack and kill and do all sorts of horrible things to people when properly attended. But they're not animals. None of the dragons we ever see are dragons. And I love the monsters in The Wizard of Oz. And that's one thing I think the Wicked series didn't quite get into enough. But if they had gone into so much depth that the characters had gotten all the way to the Kingdom of Ev, where there's a princess who steals the heads of beautiful young women so she can trade them off like she's changing her dress, I think the Wicked series would have been a little more interesting. But that definitely wouldn't have made it into the musical. Now, one of the last book series I'm going to talk about today is one that's very close to all of our hearts, I assume, and that's Animorphs. We're just going to lump aliens and monsters in together for the remainder of this show because I think they're just great. And the only thing that separates aliens from monsters in popular fantasy and fiction is the fact that these monsters come from outer space. So, we're going to start with Andalites because I have never encountered a monster species that are more aesthetically pleasing to me than those Andalites. They're blue and they have the bodies of a deer and the torsos of a humanoid with eye stalks that can rotate and look in every different direction and no mouths and a big giant scorpion tail. Whatever artists drew all the covers, especially for the Hork-Bajir Chronicles, good for you because you did a great job. And speaking of Hork-Bajir, now there's another monster creature that I just love because they're incredibly gentle, but they look like giant reptilian humanoids with blades all over their bodies, but they just use the blades for stripping the bark off trees and eating them. You have, of course, the main antagonists of the series, the Yurks, which are phenomenal and also disgusting. They're little slug-like aliens that worm their way into your head and wrap themselves around your brain and take over. Which is one of the most visceral fears I've found for a lot of people is something going into your ear. That's why people are so afraid of earwigs, because of that myth that they're going to crawl in there and start, I don't know what people think they do in there, build a nest, try and eat your tympanic membrane? Who knows? But K.A. Applegate really filled these books with the most inventive creatures. Well, you can see when an author really gets to stretch their imagination and comes up with something completely unique and original. And in my opinion, a lot of the aliens from Animorphs are just that. And that's why I still, to this day, love that series. And yes, on my special bookcase of all my favorite books, I still have the entire Animorphs book series. So there's your confession for the week and a little bit of knowledge about me. So, folks, I think that's going to do it for me this week on Bigfoot. And the silence there is when usually I would say, and Bob, but our Bob is deathly ill and gasping his last gasps on his deathbed and just generally being sweaty and gross. So, what we want you to do, and usually this isn't my section, so I'm a little awkward here, but we want you to follow us on Twitter, tell all your friends about us using the Bigfoot and Bob hashtag. You can at us if you have something to say. Email us at bigfootandbob@gmail.com. Please, 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 when you listen to this, rate it, leave a review. That helps us more than you can imagine. Trust me. I didn't know how much it helped until I started making a podcast, and then I went back to all my other podcasts and rated and reviewed them because I felt so guilty for not having done that already. So there you go. Object lesson, kids. And if you have any questions for us, feel free to email us. I always love interacting with people and getting more ideas to talk about on the show. Like the question we got this week from Anonymous. Sadly, I can't credit them, but there you go. That's all I have for you. Until the next episode or mini episode, if Ryan does in fact die of this crazy alien illness that he no doubt contracted from a Yurk, it's just me, Bigfoot, and the truth is in here.